Hi, everyone. Welcome to Wade in the Water. On this week's Sunday School podcast, we begin a new unit of lessons entitled Cheerful Givers. Over the next 3 weeks, we will be focusing on the spiritual exercise of generosity. On behalf of the podcast crew, we hope you enjoy today's episode.
We have a lovely new speaker tuning in with us for the first time today. Introduce yourself, Pat.
My name is Pat Bridgers. I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old. So 59 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus, and I've never turned back, and I've always been blessed by the Lord. I've been married to Nikki for 47 years, and we have 2 children, 3 grandsons, 1 great-grandson. We've lived in Four Oaks for 27 years now, and have been members of the First Baptist Church of Four Oaks since 1995. It seems that I was looking at my past, and I think I've been a Sunday school teacher for over 40 years because most of my married life, I think I have been a Sunday school teacher. Maybe I took a few years off, but most of the time I think I have been a Sunday school teacher, and it's one of the highlights of my life, not because I teach, but because I learn.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast.
Fall into church. Jesus never leaves. Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Four Oaks, October 10, 2021. What can generosity accomplish?
Exodus 35:4-9. Moses said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Let whoever is of a generous heart bring the Lord's offering, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and the breastpiece." Exodus 36:2-7. Moses then called Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful one to whom the Lord had given skill, and everyone whose heart was stirred to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the freewill offerings that the Israelites had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing freewill offerings every morning, so that all the artisans who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task being performed, and said to Moses, "The people are bringing much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for what they had already brought was more than enough to do all the work. This is the word of the Lord.
A few weeks ago, during our study of the Sermon on the Mount, we heard Jesus tell his disciples, "Whenever you give alms." And it was noted, I think by Robbie Adams, that Jesus said, "When you give," not "if you give." So giving, or generosity, is a large part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. But if that is the case, why is it so hard to talk about giving in the church? Perhaps today's lesson will be of benefit as we ask ourselves, what can generosity accomplish?
So as I read these scriptures and study this lesson, I can see the excitement of what the people or the Israelites are trying to do. And I think it just gets a good feeling of what we even need to do today. Moses then called Bezalel and Oholiab and every skillful one to whom the Lord had given skill, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And then down a little further, "The people are bringing much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." And that gives me the feeling of how it is when we all come together to do a fundraiser, or if we come together to go on a mission trip. Everybody's excited, we're all feeling generous and kind, and we just want to do the work for the Lord. That part of the lesson is what kind of excites me, because we can bring these scriptures to life for today.
During my life, I've had the opportunity to visit beautiful churches and cathedrals in Texas, New Mexico, Greece, Turkey, Paris, and London. I marveled at the extraordinary, vibrant colors of the stained glass windows. We have some very beautiful windows as well. Of course, I am partial to the round, stained glass red rose in the elevator wing of our church in memory of my husband, Worley King. At some of the churches, I was very impressed by the craftsmanship of the carvings, the statues, both inside and out of the buildings. I wondered how many hours or years each one took to build. The genius of the architectural design and the talent of the craftsmanship. How many people were involved to build them?
But to build the tabernacle, God called on the generosity of the Hebrews to accomplish the task. Yet their generosity was not only about building and furnishing a structure, it was also connected to following the command of God and to the fulfillment of the desire of God, which was to make God known to the world. In other words, there was a purpose to their generosity, which had to do with the mission of God, and they were called to be a part of that mission. Generosity is about accomplishing a purpose, not my purpose or your purpose, but God's purpose.
Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work.
Do you think of your skills and talents as gifts you can give to God? And when I look at that, I think, well, you know, when I look at my gifts or talents that I've been blessed with, I thank God for them, and surely I would give back to God what He has given me. So, yes, I think that the skills that I have or the talents that I have, I can give to God, because I think, in some sense, He blesses us with that. And I've often heard, if you don't use it, you'll lose it.
It said every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. So if you are skilled, how did you get that ability? Well, it sounds like the Lord gave it to you. So the Lord is saying, you know, if you're willing, you can take some of that ability that I gave to you and come and do the Lord's work. It takes all of our gifts. It takes all of our abilities and all of our talents to truly do the Lord's work. Teachers, nursery workers, cook teams, deacons, musicians, and the list goes on. It takes us all. It takes all of our talents.
And everybody did what they could. The gifts they brought were not just things, though. Some people contributed expertise and craftsmanship to the project. And these people, all of these people that came together, did the actual work of constructing the tabernacle and furnishing. And the tabernacle project was a concert of cooperation. Some gave money and material goods, while others gave time and talent.
If you want to be obedient to God's command, you have an opportunity, because there's something on this list for everyone. In other words, if you can't afford silver and gold, then bring spices instead, or maybe even some goat hair. You see, it's not the cost of the gift that's important. It's about what's in the heart of the giver. It's the same thing when we're sharing our gifts and our talents. Everyone can't sing or play the ukulele.
I see what you did there, Robbie.
Everyone can't get up in front of a crowd and preach, but we all should give what we can. If we can't be on the stage, then maybe we can help set up the stage.
I can see that again as I look at the projects and mission trips that we've been on in the last few years. Everybody comes together. There are so many people, I'd like to call their names, but the organizational skills of some of these people that kind of gave us a roadmap of things to do, that happened. And it was wonderful. And then we've got people who are so talented with their craftsmanship, and that's wonderful too. And God blessed all of these people with these gifts. That's such a good thing that it kind of reflects what this lesson is talking about.
Though I often feel God's presence in nature, fall leaves, for example, I clearly feel God's presence in these structures, a real holy experience. Today's passage gives a beautiful demonstration of God's reaching out to the Israelites to show that God is with them and the Israelites responding with generous giving.
So to get a little context, we're going to have to go back to Exodus 19 really briefly. The Israelites, led by Moses, have just escaped from Pharaoh in Egypt by going through the parted Red Sea. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, God addresses them for the first time. This is when they came to the desert of Sinai. They entered the desert of Sinai and they camped in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to me. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses goes back down to the people and he summons all the elders of the Israelites. And he tells them exactly what the Lord has commanded him to say. The people all respond together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." So as of this moment, when Moses presents God's propositions to the people and the people hear it, understand it, and agree, they are in a covenant with the Lord. Moses goes on to lay out all the laws of the covenant and the people agree to all of them. And it ends up being a lot of rules. Anybody who's read Exodus and Leviticus, it's a hard read, but the people agreed. And once you enter into a contract with God, there's no backing out. God is definitely not going to back out. The Israelites do not, of course, manage to fulfill the covenant until Jesus, the one Israelite who kept every single law and the heart of every single law to the letter and the spirit.
In the two narratives we read from Exodus today, the Hebrew people, who are not long from being delivered from bondage in Egypt, are instructed to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. The tabernacle was the place where the Israelites would commune with God. As a matter of fact, it is often referred to as the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was a reminder to the Hebrews that God was in their midst. So the tabernacle played a very important role in the life of the community.
And another part of the commentary I wanted to read, that this passage gives a demonstration of God reaching out to the Israelites to show that God is with them, and the Israelites responding with generous giving.
In the previous chapter, Moses had been on Mount Sinai listening to God speak to him.
So after he came down, he restated God's command to rest on the Sabbath day, and then gathered the Israelites and gave them the new command from God that they should combine their resources to build a tabernacle.
One of those commandments is to rest on the Sabbath day. The artisans and the workers who are building the tabernacle should honor God by keeping the Sabbath as a day of rest.
But then the Lord says, everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering. It sounds like God thinks that there'll be some who will not be willing to contribute.
God tells them to gather their resources to build a tabernacle, a place where God will dwell.
So I want to read the last verse of Exodus. So this tabernacle has been built. And verse 34 says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. the people furnished everything that was needed and more to build this tabernacle. The people were willing, and they used their abilities to do the work to complete the tabernacle. Scripture says, as soon as Moses finished the tabernacle, in comes this cloud. In comes God's presence. Seems like God is pleased with the Israelites.
God will not be limited to the tabernacle because God is everywhere. The tabernacle will be a special place that honors God's presence and where God can always be found.
God wants us to give because we want to give. There is so much kingdom work that needs to be done right here on earth. When everyone gives with a cheerful heart, it is pleasing to the Lord, and God will be present when we give and when we're willing to do the work.
Well, our BSF lesson this week was all about confession, so I guess I'm going to confess. I think it might be safe to say, maybe, that a lot of people have a distorted view of the value of money and the value of their time. And I'm definitely one of those people. I see money as security. And you look around, everything's getting more and more expensive, and the temptation is almost irresistible to think, the more expensive everything gets, the more security I have to have. And on the time side, there's been a real focus at work, at other places lately, of maintaining a good work-life balance. And I believe in that, but after a whole year of staying at home, the balance part of that, the thing that's supposed to weigh down the other side of the balance beam, must be something other than just sitting and existing. I don't know about you guys, but I tend to feel just as tired after the 9th episode on Netflix as I did after the first. And ultimately, your time is no more valuable than what you spend it on, just like money. And as Pat brought up, what these people clearly felt as they threw their time and their money and their effort into this place for God to exist with them, it's clear that they found what goes on the other side of that balance beam.
We get this list of material that is needed to complete the tabernacle. Bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and another type of durable leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems. The thing I like most about this list is it doesn't exclude anyone.
And then there's another part here that I thought was interesting because it says, the generous Israelite brought an array of gifts to the youth to building the tabernacle. Moses had given them a long list of options, and it seems that the people started seeing what they had and what they could contribute to the building project. They brought their wood, their leather, their spices, and anything else they could find. The important thing was that everybody contributed something.
They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they had already brought was more than enough to do all the work.
Perhaps the most amazing part about the verses we study today is that the Hebrews were so generous, they were told to stop giving. How in the world did that happen? I think this has a lot to do not with the amount, but with the mindset. For example, in the church, we are encouraged to give a tithe of our income. We are encouraged, out of 100% of what is ours, to give 10% to God. It's ours, and we give something to God. But that may be the wrong way to look at generosity. Perhaps we should remember that everything, even what we earn and own, is God's, 100%, and He allows us to keep 90%. In other words, generosity is about stewardship, being good caretakers of all that is God's. And that mindset, I think, makes a big difference when we think about generosity.
When the people hear what supplies are needed, they give generously. They receive more than enough contributions to complete their work. Moses told them to stop bringing gifts. Can you imagine if a church received such a huge offering that the leaders had to tell the people to stop giving because it was enough? This outpouring of generosity is both beautiful and inspiring.
So my favorite is this last section. The builders tell Moses that the people are bringing more than they need to do the work. And finally, Moses just has to tell the people to stop. He says, don't make nothing else and don't bring nothing else, because we've already got more than we can use. You can almost feel the momentum building. Once people start giving for this purpose of building the tabernacle, then all of a sudden everybody gets on board. And the next thing you know, something that you wouldn't even think could be done, it is done. And not only is it done, but there's material left over.
So if there are times in your life when you have some type of skill or talent that you should be using it for God, then you should, by all means, use that and be cheerful about it.
If everyone hadn't have given so freely, the tabernacle may have never been built. And that's why we need to give freely within our church community. Because if you're not giving, if you're just coming and going, and if you're just existing, then you're missing out on that blessing that you get when you invest the things you have in God.
I just know that in my heart that we should always be cheerful givers, because if you're not cheerful about the gift that you're given, you might consider just not even giving them, because part of the cheerfulness is what's the most important.
Let's face it, this mindset isn't easy. It really is something that has to be formed in us. It is something that we have to be transformed to do. Maybe that's why Jesus reminded his disciples that giving alms is a spiritual exercise that has to work its way into us by the power of the Holy Spirit.
It's so much easier when we all pitch in. We can get so much more done when we all contribute. Anytime you're not doing your part, someone else has to do double. It really makes your faith just seem more sincere. When you invest, it shows that you really care. You can't say, you know, I love God, but I'm just not going to invest in Him. This investment, it makes your faith stronger. There is a joy in giving, and it always feels good when you're being obedient to God.
Where do you feel closest to God, and describe how this feels? I can truly say that for me and everybody that knows me, that it's the beach. When I go to the beach, it is the most wonderful, holy spirit that I have ever experienced in my life, because there's just something about a feeling at the beach that makes me feel the bigness and the majestic feelings of God.
I believe that K-Sales would require me to put an amen here.
The ocean, just knowing that everything there was created by God, makes all the difference in the world. The sunsets that are so beautiful, his artistic ability just makes me wonder how anybody can ever go to the beach and not believe in God. And we have said that often. You know, how can you be at the beach and just not know that God is there and God created it all?
As Mary put it better earlier, God is everywhere. He's not limited to any single time or space. But we can feel Him most palpably where two or more are gathered in His name.
Jesus embodied everything that the tabernacle represents. He expresses this in Matthew 28:20, when he promises, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Questions to think about. How can you be a presence in Christ to others? How can we inspire others to give with a heart of generosity and gratitude? How can your generosity make a difference?
I ran across this prayer about generosity attributed to Ignatius of Loyola, and I think it captures well this need for us humans to be transformed by Jesus to be generous. "Lord," Ignatius prays, "teach me to be generous. to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to look for any reward, save that of knowing that I do your holy will. Amen.